Thank you, thank you. Thanks a lot. I campaigned with President Obama 4 years ago. And since then, he's kind of felt like we're buddies or something, you know. And occasionally, the phone rings late at night. I pick it up, and I hear, "Let's stay together whether times are good or bad. Happy as Mr. President." That's right. I'm so and so, Mr. President. Yeah, you know. And happens every so often. Middle of the night, not asking me about foreign policy. I actually think he has musical aspirations, which is why I'm hoping we get 4 more years of the president, because I think he's trying to compete, to be honest with you, you know. So after the first debate, I figured, you know, phone rings, 2 a.m. after the first debate. I can't get no satisfaction. Mr. President? All right. And another week or so later after the second debate, I got a 4 a.m. version of "I'm Sexy and I Know It." So, well, then he called me about 2 or 3 weeks ago and pick up the phone here. Bruce, we need a campaign song. So the campaign song. I said, okay, you know, what do you have in mind? Well, let's start with our campaign slogan, which of course is, all right. I said, well, what else you want in it? Obama. Okay, all right. So this was a work in progress in Ames a few weeks ago, but I can honestly say that I've refined this. It's finally finished, and the election is sealed once this song is played. If the swing states are swinging, they're going to tilt right over into the Obama column once they hear this song. And this was not easy to write. I'll explain to you as we go. Oh, I'm going to need your help, because I'm going to sing a line and then you're going to shout "Forward," the campaign slogan. Well, I kissed your sister, then I kissed your mama. I'm a musician. Usually this time of day, I'm still in my pajamas. Let's vote for the man that got Osama. Forward and away we go. I'm warning you, that's the best verse. All right. I like them signs popping up at the end of it. So I came to the second verse, and I had a problem already because there's not that many things that rhyme with Obama. So I said, while I came to Iowa looking for a date, we kissed and I said, it's a hell of a state. We made love, but it wasn't so great. Forward. So I got one more verse, and I'm thinking, what can I write about? I need a good finish. Okay, I'll write about the debates. Yeah, I'll write about the debates. All right. So I started the first debate. Actually, it really freaked me out. All right. But then Romney got schooled by Obama. Smiling Joe Biden brought the drama. Fox News said he was smoking marijuana. Forward Election sealed. That's it. Finish. Last word. All right. I'm here today for Iowa, for America, and for President Obama. Now, for the last 30 years, I've been writing in my music about the distance between the American dream and American reality. I've seen it from the inside, and I've seen it from the outside. I grew up as a blue-collar kid in Freehold, New Jersey. My parents struggled, often unsuccessfully, trying to make ends meet. And I've seen it as an adult, visiting the Ninth Ward after Katrina in New Orleans, or meeting folks from food pantries from all around the United States who work daily to help our struggling citizens through the hard times we've been suffering. The American dream and an American reality. Our vote tomorrow is the one undeniable way we get to determine the distance in that equation. Tomorrow, we get a personal hand in shaping the kind of America we want our kids to grow up in. I'm a husband and a dad. My lovely wife Patty's here with me. Yeah. We got three kids growing up, going out into the world. I'm 63. Patty is much younger. much younger. But we've both lived through some galvanizing moments in American history. We've lived through the Civil Rights Movement, the Peace Movement, the Women's Movement. We've played in East Berlin 1 year before the fall of the Berlin Wall. And we were with Amnesty International a year before the release of Nelson Mandela and the end of apartheid. And these were days, these were times when you could feel the winds of change moving. You could feel the world shifting beneath your feet. And we both remember another galvanizing moment, and that was the night that President Obama was elected. I remember sitting on my couch, and my job for 30 years has been, what I do for a living is I imagine America. And I remember sitting there and thinking, yeah, this is who we can be. This is who we can be. It was an evening when the hope of your heart felt fulfilled, and when you could feel the locked doors of the past being blown open to new and previously unimaginable possibilities, to fresh hope and change. But now today we have another battle. We're charged with the hard daily struggle to make those possibilities, those changes real and enduring in a world that challenges your hopefulness, in a world that is often brutally resistant to change. We've lived through that struggle over the past 4 years when the forces of our opposition have been tireless. I stood with President Obama 4 years ago, and I'm proud to be standing with him tonight because I'm thankful for the historic advances in health care. I'm thankful for a more regulated Wall Street that will begin to protect our citizens from the blind greed of those who overreach. My dad worked on the Ford assembly line when I was a kid. And I'm thankful that we have a president that had faith in the automobile industry and that General Motors is today making cars. Because what else would I write about? I'm thankful that we have a decisive president working hard to keep America safe, and I'm appreciative of the fact that, as promised, he has ended the war in Iraq and is bringing the war in Afghanistan to a close. I'm here today because I'm concerned about women's rights and health issues, both at home and around the world. I don't have to tell you about the danger to Roe versus Wade under our opponents' policies. I'm also troubled by the 30 years of increasing disparity in wealth between our best-off citizens and everyday Americans. That's a disparity that threatens to divide us into two distinct and separate nations, and we have to be better than that. Finally, I'm here today because I've lived long enough to know that the future, it's rarely a tide rushing in. It's often a slow march, inch by inch, day after painful, long day. And we are in the midst of one of those long days right now. And I believe that President Obama feels those days in his bones for all 100% of Americans. He'll live those days with us. Well, President Obama last time ran as a man of hope and change, and you hear a lot of talk about how things are different now, how that's not so. But things aren't any different. They're just realer. It's crunch time now. The president's job, our job, yours, mine, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, independent, rich, poor, black, brown, white, gay, straight, soldier, civilian, is to keep that hope alive and to combat the cynicism and the apathy. But to believe in our power to change our lives in the country and the world that we live in. So, this is the night before the day. It's the night before the day. And tomorrow's the day. And we're going to go to work tomorrow. And then we're going to go to work the day after that and the day after that, when the work really counts. Let's re-elect President Obama to carry our standard forward towards the America that waits in our hearts. God bless. This is called Land of Hope and Dreams. Grab your ticket and your suitcase. Thunder's rolling down this track. Well, you don't know where you're going now, but you know you won't be back. Well, darling, if you're weary, go lay your head upon my chest. We'll take what we can carry. Yeah, and we'll leave the rest. Big wheels roll through fields where sunlight streams. Meet me in a land of hope and dreams. Will I will provide for you, and I'll stand by your side. You'll need a good companion now for this part of the ride. Yeah, leave behind your sorrows. Let this day be the last. Well, tomorrow there'll be sunshine. And all this darkness pass. Well, big wheels roll through fields where sunlight streams. Yes, meet me in a land of hope and dreams. Saints and sinners, this train carries losers and winners. Well, this train carries whores and gamblers. Yeah, this train carries lost souls. I said this train carries brokenhearted. This train, thieves and sweet souls departed. This train
carries fools and kings, Lord, this train. All aboard, I said, now this train, dreams will not be thwarted. This train, faith will be rewarded. This train, hear the steel wheels singing. This train, bells of freedom ringing. Their big wheels roll through fields where sunlight streams. Meet me in a land of hope and dreams. Meet me in a land of hope and dreams. Meet me in a land of hope and dreams. God bless you. Get out and vote tomorrow. Let's re-elect President Obama. I'm proud to introduce the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama.
From the bottom of my heart, and I am beyond thrilled to be here with all of you. But we have to give some love up for Bruce Springsteen. I mean, God. Oh. For months, I have heard his songs played at our rallies, but I have to say there's nothing like seeing the boss in person. Nothing like it. He has just been tremendous. He and his family and his team, they've just been amazing. So we want to thank Bruce for everything that he's done for us. And more than anything else, I want to thank you all for being here tonight. I mean, as you know, this is a pretty emotional time for us because this is the final event of my husband's final campaign. So this is the last time that he and I will be on stage together at a campaign rally. And that's why we wanted to come here to Iowa tonight. Because truly this is where it all began, right here. And I have so many fond memories of this state. The house parties in Sioux City and Cedar Rapids, celebrating Malia's birthday in Pella, and seeing my husband's face carved in butter. Believe me, we still talk about that at Christmas. But I will never forget the kindness and warmth and love that you all showed me and my family. Especially our girls. That is truly what made the difference back in those early days when I wasn't so sure about this whole process. Back when I was still wondering what it would mean for our girls and our family if Barack got the chance to serve as president. But the truth is, while I had my worries and my fears, I also realized that this decision affected not only me as a wife and a mother, but as a voter, as an American. And I started envisioning the kind of person that I wanted to lead our country. And I knew that I wanted a president with a steady character, with deep compassion and strong convictions. I wanted a president who was smart. I wanted someone we could trust. Someone who would always, always tell us the truth, even when it's hard. And I wanted a president driven not by politics or which way the wind is blowing, but by the struggles, hopes, and dreams of all Americans. And the more I thought about it, the more I knew in my heart that I was describing Barack. I knew he could be that president. And for 4 years, that's exactly what he's done. He has stayed true to himself. And with your help, he's worked day after day to make this country better, to move it forward. He's rescued our economy from the brink of collapse, saved the auto industry. He's passed historic health reform, ended the war in Iraq. He's fought so women get equal pay and students can afford college. He's fought for our seniors so that they can retire with dignity, and our veterans so that they can get the benefits they earned and the respect they deserve. For 4 years, Barack has been fighting to give every single one of us a fair shot at that great American dream, no matter what we look like or where we come from or who we love. And for 4 years, we have all seen what I've seen for the past 23 years. We've seen a man of honor and integrity who knows what he believes and stays true to his values. I'm so proud of my husband. We have seen an honest man who knows the facts and always gives it to us straight. We've seen a man whose strength and resolve to build a better tomorrow has never wavered, never. And that's why I am so thrilled to be here in Iowa tonight. Because long before most people even knew his name, you all saw what I saw. So you did all this crazy stuff. You showed up at campaign offices here in Des Moines and offices all over the state. More importantly, you opened your homes. You held caucus trainings. You marched with us at the Jefferson Jackson dinner. And then on a cold January night, you stood up for Barack because you knew that he would stand up for you. And over these past 4 years, our family has been truly blessed by all of the love and support and prayers that we have received from every corner of this country. And Barack has been truly blessed to have all of you by his side as we have worked together to bring that change we can believe in. It is an honor and a privilege to serve this nation. Just know that. And tomorrow, we get the chance to finish what we started here in Iowa. Tomorrow, all across the state, all across this country, we will line up and vote in libraries and community centers and school gyms. We're going to knock on doors until our fingers are numb. We're going to make calls until our voices are hoarse. And we won't stop until every voice and every last vote is counted. And we will do it. We will do it because while we have come so far, we know that there is so much more to do. And what we really, truly know is that we cannot turn back now. We need to keep moving this country forward. So that means that we need to reelect the man who has been fighting for us every single day. My husband, the love of my life, the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Tomorrow, Iowa, tomorrow from the granite of New Hampshire to the Rockies of Colorado, from the coastlines of Florida to Virginia's rolling hills, from the valleys of Ohio to these Iowa fields, we will keep America moving forward. I've come back to Iowa one more time to ask for your vote. I came back to ask you to help us finish what we've started. Because this is where our movement for change began. Right here. Right here. Right behind these bleachers is the building that was home to our Iowa headquarters in 2008. I was just inside, and it brought back a whole lot of memories. This is where some of the first young people who joined our campaign set up shop, willing to work for little pay and less sleep, because they believed that people who love their country can change it. This was where so many of you who shared that belief came to help. You know, when the heat didn't work for the first week or so, some of you brought hats and gloves for the staff. These poor kids, they weren't prepared. When the walls inside were bare, one of you painted a mural to lift everybody's spirits. When we had a steak fry to march to, when we had a JJ dinner to fire up, you brought your neighbors and you made homemade signs. When we had calls to make, teachers and nurses showed up after work, already bone tired, but staying anyway, late into the night. And you welcomed me and Michelle into your homes. And you picked us up when we needed a lift. And your faces gave me new hope for this country's future. And your stories filled me with resolve to fight for you every single day I set foot in the Oval Office.
Thank you.
You inspired us. And I want to take this opportunity to say one thing to all the young people and not so young people who've given so much to this campaign over the years. Those of you who haven't done this just for me, but for each other. for a laid off family member, for a sick child, for a fallen friend, to all of you who've lived and breathed the hard work of change, I want to thank you. You took this campaign and you made it your own, and you organized yourselves block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, county by county, starting a movement that spread across the country, a movement made up of young and old and rich and poor and black and white, Latino, Asian, Native American, gay, straight, Democrats, Republicans, who believe we've all got something to contribute. And we all deserve a shot at our own American dream. And when the cynics said we couldn't, you said, yes, we can. You said, yes, we can, and we did. Against all odds, we did. We didn't know what challenges would come when we began this journey. We didn't know how deep the crisis would turn out. But we knew we would get through those challenges the same way this nation always has. With that determined, unconquerable American spirit that says, no matter how bad the storm gets, no matter how tough times are, we're all in this together. We rise or fall as one nation and as one people. That's the spirit that carried us through the trials and tribulations of the last 4 years. In 2008, we were in the middle of two wars and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. And today, our businesses have created nearly 5.5 million new jobs. The American auto industry is back. Home values are on the rise. We're less dependent on foreign oil than any time in the last 20 years. We've doubled the production of clean energy. Because of the service and sacrifice of our brave men and women in uniform, the war in Iraq is over. The war in Afghanistan is ending. Al-Qaeda's on the run. Osama bin Laden is dead. We've made real progress these past 4 years. But Iowa, we're here tonight because we've got more work to do. We're not done yet on this journey. We've got more road to travel. As long as there's a single American who wants a job but can't find one, as long as there are families working harder but still falling behind, as long as there's a child anywhere in Des Moines, anywhere in Iowa, anywhere in this country, languishing in poverty, barred from opportunity, our work isn't done. Our fight for change goes on. Because we know this nation cannot succeed without a growing, thriving middle class and sturdy ladders for everybody who's willing to work to get into that middle class. Our fight goes on because America's always done best when everybody's got a fair shot and everybody's doing their fair share and everybody plays by the same rules. The people of Iowa understand that. That's what we believe. That's why you elected me in 2008. And Iowa, that's why I'm running for a second term as President of the United States. The choice you make tomorrow, and you understand this, Iowans, you guys pay attention. The choice you make is not just between two candidates or parties. It's a choice between two different visions of America, who we are, what we believe, what we care about. It's a choice between going back to the top-down policies that caused the mess we've been fighting our way out of for 4 years, or moving forward to a future that's built on a strong and growing middle class. And Iowa, you know me as well as anybody. You've seen a lot of me these last 6 years. And you know what? You may not agree with every decision I've made. Michelle doesn't. There may be times where you've been frustrated at the pace of change. I promise you, so have I. But I tell you what, you know what I believe. You know where I stand. You know I tell the truth. You know I'll fight for you and your families every single day as hard as I know how. And that's why when we talk about change, we know what real change looks like because we fought for it. We've got the scars to prove it. I've got the gray hair to show it. I wasn't this gray when I first showed up in Iowa. And sometimes it's been hard. Sometimes it's been frustrating. We understand that. But what we also know is that when we decide to make a difference, when Americans come together, determined to bring about change, nobody can stop us. We cannot be stopped. And after all we've been through together, after all that we fought through together, we cannot give up on change now. We know what real change looks like. Change is a country where every American has a shot at a great education, where we recruit new teachers, train new workers, bring down tuition so that no one in this country is forced to give up their dream of a college education. Change comes when we live up to this country's legacy of innovation by investing in the next generation of technology and manufacturing. Instead of subsidizing oil company profits, I want to support energy jobs of tomorrow. And Iowa knows about clean energy and biodiesel and wind turbines that will free this country from the grip of foreign oil. I don't want a tax code that rewards companies for creating jobs overseas. I want to reward companies that create jobs right here in America. That's what changes Iowa. Change is turning the page on a decade of war so we can do some nation building here at home. Repairing our roads and our bridges, making our schools state of the art, putting our veterans back to work because nobody who fights for this country's freedom should have to fight for a job or a roof over their heads when they come home. That's what we're fighting for. That's why we're not done. Change is a future where we reduce our deficit by asking the wealthiest Americans to go back to the tax rates they paid when Bill Clinton was in office. We'll cut out spending we don't need. But as long as I'm president, we're not going to turn Medicare into a voucher just to pay for another millionaire's tax cut. We're not going to kick a kid off a head start just to pay for a millionaire's tax cut. Because our budget reflects our priorities and our values. And we know what our future requires. We know what real change is. You helped teach me that here in Iowa. And you know, what you also know is the change isn't easy. Remember, a lot of you, you know, showed up to town hall meetings back in 2007, 2008, and I used to talk about change, but I also said, you know, I'm not just talking about changing presidents. I'm not just talking about changing parties. I'm talking about changing our politics. I told you I ran because your voices had been shut out of our democracy for way too long by special interests and politicians who will do whatever it takes to keep things just the way they are. And we've seen over the last 4 years, the status quo in Washington, they are powerful and they have fought us every step of the way. When we tried and succeeded in reforming our healthcare system, they spent millions trying to stop us. When we tried and succeeded in reforming Wall Street, they spent millions to push us back, and we kept on going. But those were tough fights. And what the protectors of the status quo in Washington are counting on now is that you'll get worn down by all the squabbling. You'll get fed up with the dysfunction. You'll give up on the change we fought for. You'll walk away and lead them to make decisions that affect every American. In other words, their bet is on cynicism. But Iowa, you taught me to bet on you. You taught me to bet on hope. I'll work with anybody of any party to move this country forward. And if you want to break the gridlock in Congress, you'll vote for leaders who say, who feel the same way. Whether they're Democrats or Republicans or independents, the kind of Iowa leaders you've always had. Tom and Christy Vilsack and Tom Harkin and Leonard Boswell and Bruce Braley and my great friends Tom Miller and Mike Fitzgerald. But there's some principles you got to fight for. There are times where you've got to take a stand. You know, if the price of peace in Washington is cutting deals to kick students off of financial aid or get rid of funding for Planned Parenthood or let insurance companies discriminate against kids with pre-existing conditions or eliminate health care for millions on Medicaid who are poor or elderly or disabled, I won't pay that price. That's not a deal I will make. That's not bipartisanship. That's not change. That's surrender to the same forces of the status quo that have squeezed middle-class families for way too long. And Iowa, I'm not ready to give up on the fight. I've got a lot more fight left in me. But to wage that fight on behalf of American families, I need you to still have some fight in you, too. You know, the folks at the top of this country, turns out they don't need another champion in Washington. They'll always have a seat at the table. They'll always have access and influence. The people who need a champion are the Americans whose letters I read late at night after a long day in the office. The men and women I meet on the campaign trail every day. The laid-off furniture worker who's retraining at the age of 55 for a new career at a community college. She needs a champion. The restaurant owner who needs a loan to expand. He's got great food, but the bank turned him down. He needs help. He needs a champion. The cooks and the waiters and cleaning staff working overtime in a hotel in Des Moines or Vegas trying to save enough to buy a first home or send their kid to college, they need a champion. The auto worker who was laid off, thought the plant would never reopen, and is now back on the job, filled with pride and dignity, building a great car, building America, he needs a champion. The teacher in an overcrowded classroom with outdated school books, digging into her own pocket to buy school supplies, not always feeling like she's got the support she needs, but showing up every day because she knows that this might be the day that she's got a breakthrough and she makes a difference in one child's life. She needs a champion. All those kids in inner cities, small farm towns, kids dreaming of becoming scientists or doctors, engineers or entrepreneurs, diplomats, or even a president. They need a champion in Washington. Because the future will never have as many lobbyists as the status quo. Children don't have lobbyists the way oil companies or banks do, but it's the dreams of those children that will be our saving grace. That's what we fight for. That's why I need you, Iowa, to make sure their voices are heard. To make sure your voices are heard. And that's why we've come too far to turn back now. We've come too far to let our hearts grow faint. Now's the time to keep pushing forward, to educate all our kids and train all our workers and to create new jobs and rebuild our roads and bring back our troops and care for our veterans and broaden opportunity and grow our middle class and restore our democracy and make sure that no matter who you are or where you come from or how you started out, what you look like, who you love, what your last name is, here in America you can make it if you try. That's what we're fighting for. And Iowa, after all the months of campaigning, after all the rallies, after the millions of dollars of ads, it all comes down to you. It's out of my hands now. It's in yours. All of it depends on what you do. When you step into that voting booth tomorrow, it's just a remarkable thing, the way our democracy works. And at a certain point, all this effort and all these campaign rallies, and then it just comes down to each of us as citizens. All of it depends on you bringing your friend or your neighbor, your coworker, your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband to the polls. That's how our democracy is supposed to be. The single most powerful force in our democracy is you. Moving this country forward begins with you. Don't ever let anybody tell you your vote doesn't matter. Don't let anybody tell you your voice can't make a difference. It makes a difference. I got a powerful reminder of this myself on our last campaign. Folks in Iowa, I know you may have heard this story, but it was early in the primaries. And we were still way down in the polls. And I think this office has just finally gotten the heat turned on. And at the time, I was still competing in South Carolina as one of the early primary states. And I really wanted the endorsement of a state representative down there. I'd met her at some function where nobody knew me, nobody could pronounce my name. They're wondering, what's he thinking? So I asked her for her endorsement, and she said, I tell you what, Obama, I will give you my endorsement if you come to my hometown of Greenwood, South Carolina. And I think I had a little bit of wine during dinner, because right away I said, okay. So it's about a month later, and I'm traveling back to South Carolina, and we flew in late at night. I think we were coming from Iowa. We'd been campaigning nonstop, you know, traveling all through towns and having town hall meetings and shaking hands. And I'm making phone calls, asking people for support. And so we land in Greenville, South Carolina at around midnight. We get to the hotel about 1 o'clock in the morning. I am wiped out. I'm exhausted. And I'm dragging my bags to my room. Back then, we didn't fly on Air Force One, and you know, the accommodations were a little different. And just as I'm about to walk into the room, one of my staff taps me on the shoulder and they say, excuse me, Senator, I was a senator back then. We're going to have to wake up and be on the road at 6:30 in the morning. And I said, what? Why? Well, you made this promise to go to Greenwood, and it's several hours away. And you know, I try to keep my promises. So a few hours later, I wake up and I'm feeling terrible. I think a cold's coming on. And I open up the curtains to try to get some light to wake me up, but it's pouring down rain, terrible storm. And I take a shower and get some coffee, and I open up the newspaper, and there's a bad story about me in the New York Times. I was much more sensitive at that time to bad stories. I've become more accustomed to these now. And finally, I get dressed, I go downstairs, and I'm walking out to the car, and my umbrella blows open, and I'm soaked. So by the time I'm in the car, I'm wet, and I'm mad, and I'm still kind of sleepy. And it turns out that Greenwood is several hours away from every place else. So we drive, and we drive, and we drive, and we drive, and finally we get to Greenwood, although you don't know you're in Greenwood right away, because there are not a lot of tall buildings around. And we pull up to a small field house, and I walk in, and I'm looking around. I don't hear a lot going on. And the state representative said she was going to organize a little meeting for us, and we walk in, and there are about 20 people there. And they're all kind of wet, too, and they don't look very excited to see me. But, you know, I'm running for president, so I do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm shaking hands, and I say, how do you do? Nice to meet you. And I'm making my way around the room, and suddenly I hear this voice cry out behind me, fired up. And I'm startled, and I don't know what's going on. But everybody in the room, this is a small room, they act like this is normal. And when the boy says fired up, they all say ready to go. And so once again, I hear the voice, fired up. And they say, fired up. They say, ready to go, ready to go. So I look around, I turn behind me, there's this small woman. She's about 60 years old. Looks like she just came from church. She got a big church hat. And she's looking at me, kind of peering at me, and she's grinning, smiling, looking happy. Turns out she's a city councilwoman from Greenwood who also moonlights as a private detective. I'm not making this up. This is true. And it turns out she's famous throughout the area. When she goes to football games and when she goes to rallies and she goes to community events, she does this chant of hers. She does it wherever she goes. So for the next few minutes, she just keeps on saying, fired up. And everybody says, fired up. And she says, ready to go. And everybody says, ready to go. And I'm thinking, you know, this woman is showing me up. This is my meeting. I'm running for president. And she's dominating the room. And I look at my staff, and they just shrug their shoulders. They don't know what to do. So this goes on for a few minutes. Now, here's the thing, Iowa. After a few minutes, I'm feeling kind of fired up. I'm feeling like I'm ready to go. So I start joining in the chant. My staff starts joining in the chant. Suddenly, I feel pretty good. And we go on to talk about the lives of the people in the room and their families and their struggles and their hopes for their kids and their grandkids. And we drive out, and it's still raining, but it doesn't seem so bad. And we go to our next stop, and for the rest of the day, even after we left Greenwood, even though we still weren't getting any big crowds anyplace, even though people still couldn't pronounce my name, I felt good. And I'd see my staff, and I'd say, are you fired up? They'd say, we're fired up. They'd say, are you ready to go? And they'd say, we're ready to go. And we brought that to Iowa. And during our rallies, this became a chant. And we'd have signs saying, fired up, ready to go. And the woman, her name was Edith Child, she became a celebrity. And she was written up in the Wall Street Journal. And folks did news stories on her. And this became one of the anthems of our campaign back in 2008. Now, here's the end of the story, though. We knew we were coming back to Des Moines for the last campaign rally I'll ever do for me. And so, you know, we were getting kind of sentimental, and we called up Edith Child. And we said, why don't you come on up? Listen to this. We said, why don't you come on up? We'll fly you up from South Carolina, and you can do this chant one more time, just for old good time's sake. It's like getting the band back together again. And you know what Edith said? She said, I'd love to see you, but I think we can still win North Carolina, so I'm taking a crew into North Carolina to knock on doors on election day. I don't have time just to be talking about it. I've got to knock on some doors. I've got to turn out the vote. I'm still fired up, but I got work to do. And that shows you what one voice can do. One voice can change a room. And if it can change a room, it can change a city. And if it can change a city, it can change a state. And if it can change a state, it can change a nation. And if it can change a nation, it can change the world. And Iowa, in 2008, your voice changed the world. And Edith Child asked me to ask you that if you're willing to still stand with me tomorrow, If you're willing to get your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers to the polls tomorrow, if you're willing to make sure we finish what we started, she's pretty sure we'll win Iowa. She's pretty sure we'll win this election. And she just had one question for you, and that is, are you fired up? Are you fired up? Are you fired up? Are you fired up? Iowa, tomorrow, let's remind the world just why it is the United States of America is the greatest nation on earth. I love you. Let's go vote. Let's keep moving forward. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.